Welcome back to Elevate with Shaniqua Moore. We are so excited to be in a new series, a new segment, where we're going to be interviewing incredible Black men and leadership. And today I have a new friend with me, Chaz Chapman, in the building. Hey, Chaz.
Hi, how are you?
Great. We got an opportunity to chat before. Chatting with Chaz. I love that.
I have to pin that somewhere.
Right? Yes. So today we're going to talk more about philanthropy and Black people in that space. But before we get started, I want to read Chaz's bio and then we'll jump into our first questions. So Mr. Chapman is an experienced people and energy professional with almost 10 years of professional experience committed to shaping company culture to achieve short and long-term objectives for operations, talent, and growth. Mr. Chapman is currently a senior associate in the Siegel Group within its organizational effectiveness practices. And he focuses on organizational and operational assessments. This is really important. Employee engagement, future of work strategy, and workforce analysis. Prior to Siegel, Mr. Chapman worked with NPAG, which is an executive search firm, where he focused on human resources infrastructure, building and assessment for social impact organizations. Mr. Chapman also is the founder of the Catalyst Scholarship Foundation, which he launched in partnership with Kennesaw State University to encourage philanthropy and social responsibility amongst young minority students. I love that. And Mr. Chapman remains grounded in social impact as he served as the vice president of Kennesaw State Black Alumni Society, a 2020 United Way Volunteer Involvement Program alum, and the 30 Under 30 Immersion Fellowship Chair of the Young Nonprofit Professionals Network of Atlanta. And that's just a part of your bio.
Just
a part. So you've been doing incredible work. You're a young Black man. And so what do you say is your sort of your inspiration to all of this incredible work you've been doing?
I think it's so important to, you know, when you have an opportunity to kind of be in these spaces, it's to, for one, you know, give acknowledgement and honor to your parents. My mom and dad are the best.
I love that.
I think they never taught me that the limit exists, right? Mm. You know, it's like if I want to try it, they're
that.
Like going out there and do it, right? And,
yeah.
And I tell my mom all the time, I was like, you know, there's some things you did that I see that it's paying off now. Mm-hmm. And then my dad will almost kind of like, you know, respond and say, you know, your responsibility to the earth is based off the benefits and the privilege you've gained from your mom.
Wow.
You know, and
that's
so
incredible.
It's kind of beautiful to kind of see this duality. You know,
sure.
My mom and dad have been divorced, you know, forever, but they still provide the same kind of through thread of love and encouragement. So, you know, kudos.
Mom.
Shout out to mom.
Shout out to mom, dad.
Tracy, I love you.
I love it. I love that. I mean, it's like I never heard it in that respect, but it makes a lot of sense. Like your responsibility is based on your benefits and your
yes.
privileges,
yes.
right? So it's like, what do you do when you have privilege?
Yeah.
Do you sort of keep it to yourself or do you use that for change?
You know, you're supposed to use it for change, but the reality is I think all of us, you know, we hold on to our privilege and we use it to benefit us as much as we can. And so I'll say the true side, the truest of me understands that, you know, with privilege does come a bit of selfishness. But reality is, you know, whatever you give that is not the expectation or whatever you give that's out of your abundance is certainly welcome, you know. And so I think to your point, it is about change. You know, I don't think we should sit down and waste our time, you know, after you finish up work and, you know, you go to the gym or whatever, you know, we kill ourselves just sitting still and not helping out others, you know.
Yeah.
When we forget that others have it worse than us or not even that worse than us, but they have a different life.
Mm.
We limit our learning. We limit our aptitude to understand the world around us.
That's so, I love what you're saying. And it reminds me of what you told us before we started going live. And that was about your why into this work.
Yeah.
You talked about after undergraduate, you went into nonprofit. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, so nonprofit world, you ready?
All my nonprofiters out there.
Carrie, like, stay strong.
Yep.
So I started out, as I was telling you before we got started, I started out in nonprofit and I loved it. I love it. I will continue to love it. I started at Agape Youth and Family Center, which is located in Northwest Atlanta. You all check them out. Shout out to the team there. I thank you all yet again for creating this space for me to walk in being a nonprofit leader.
Awesome.
I started at Agape, and they took a chance on this very young, hungry guy that was like, I'm going to do whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, you say going to give me this much for a sale? Okay, yeah, I'm going for it, right? But the opportunities that came with it, like, I wouldn't have even thought to add it to my, like, roadmap. It wasn't on my bingo card, right?
Yeah.
And I remember starting in May, and I kid you not, the next month, my manager, development manager, was like, oh, by the way, we're starting a capital campaign next month. And it's like, sure, great. Like, you know, what is that? Capital campaign. And they were like, we're going to raise $8.5 million to move into a new facility.
Wow.
And this nonprofit, Agape, still is one of the best, well-operationalized, well-ran, well-orchestrated programs that's dedicated to really, changing the trajectory of children in Northwest Atlanta.
Wow.
And at that time, we were serving, I want to say, about 89% of the students there were Hispanic, Latinx. The other 11% were Black, African Americans. And we did this capital campaign launch in somebody's very nice mansion.
Yeah.
Like in one of their just event rooms, right?
Wow.
Like they had enough space to have like 40 people in their house comfortably in a wing of their home. And
incredible.
But beautiful event. And I remember just hearing some gentlemen speak, some white gentlemen that they were just kind of sharing information, sharing knowledge. I think they might have both been in like wealth management, financial services, and they shared, you know, the average American doesn't have an emergency savings, you know, available for a $500, you know, charge or emergency.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have that either.
Right. Yep.
But it amazed me. That was kind of the first part, but it amazed me that these folks were just coming because their friend invited them. They said, hey, I'm supporting this cause. Would you like to be a part of it as well? They brought, you know, all these people, like I said, 40 people just to pretty much pledge a certain amount to support this $8.5 million campaign.
It's incredible.
And I remember leaving that event that night and I was like, if they can do it, I got to figure out how to make that happen for my community too.
I love it.
And I didn't have a framework. I didn't have a template. But I just felt like it just unlocked something. It was like, if they can do it for a community that doesn't even look like them, then what can I do for people that do look like me when it's dedicated for them and it's from my lived experience as well, or a shared lived experience?
No, it's incredible. I have like mixed feelings. I'm thinking about 20 things at one time.
Gotcha.
When I hear like these things about wealth strategies and just wealth in Black communities, especially in a nonprofit space, you know, it reminds me of the fact that it's very recent, right? That Black people have been finally, rising up in terms of wealth.
Yeah.
And we know why. 400 plus years of slavery. Black Wall Street completely destroyed.
Jim Crow laws.
Segregation,
access to public transportation.
Yeah.
Jobs, bias,
voting,
all those kind of things.
Education. Yeah. Yeah. And there's still a lot of disproportionality within every system in America. So, you know, it does make sense why the playing field isn't level in terms of wealth and philanthropy in a Black space. But you talked about being in that room, and I would imagine you were the only Black person there, or one of the only.
If I be honest, the people that were Black that were there were probably the people that worked at Agape.
They weren't the philanthropists.
They weren't making the contribution.
Right.
No.
That's what I figured. That's what I thought. Right.
Yeah.
And so what would it look like? Right. And that's sort of what your thought was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to be in these creating and curating these spaces.
Agreed.
And raising these dollars for communities that look just like
look
us.
Like us. Exactly.
So tell us, tell me, like, what do you just give me a little more about that? Like, Black in the philanthropic space. What has it been like for you so far?
Yeah. You know, it's so easy to think I don't have all the answers, or I'm not giving away a full ride scholarship, or, you know, I didn't come from a family foundation that it's like, well, I probably should wait until I get more established in my career, or I should wait until I retire, or I should wait until I don't know, hit the lottery. I should wait. I should, you know, you find of all these reasons to wait. And I think, you know, you'll hear the social media influencers be like, you know, if you always wait, you never get it done, or, you know, do it scared, or do it while, you know, don't wait for it to be perfect. And that's what I latched onto, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the framework's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know what I want it to do. And so me knowing what I wanted to do was the motivation. And then what really kind of crystallized or codified that motivation was when I invited others to the table, and they were like, they just ran with it, right?
It's
and so,
incredible.
You know, you're talking about like, what is the next step look of that?
Yeah.
It was, okay, they did that at their house. My house isn't that big, but right. I can put a couple of people in my house.
Yeah, sure.
And my birthday's coming up, so let's try it. And so the ask was like, hey, let's raise $1,000. And folks leaned in with it, and we raised like $1,600.
Love that.
And so for me, it's, you know, don't be afraid to be the first person to do it. And even if you end up being the first person to do it and fail, they're never going to be able to take away from you. You kind of laid that foundation, right? You laid the inspiration. You were the architect for this idea. If I'm in a position where my community can look to me to be a good steward of those resources and to welcome them into philanthropy, then I feel like I'm doing something right.
Wow. I love your story. It's so inspiring, and it gives me a lot of hope for the future for our community. As a Black male, what is it like being in that space, the philanthropy space, being a young Black male?
Yeah. You know, I think it's exciting because it's like it's not that many of us.
Yeah.
And so when I talk about what I do, I have to let people know, like, no, I'm not like a philanthropist. I mean, I'm not a nonprofit that's looking for you to like write a check or, you know, give me like backpacks or like help me like give food. I was like, actually, I'm trying to like give out money to like change a generation. Like,
wow.
I've had to actually change like the narrative of like, I run a nonprofit. And I think part of that is, I hate to say it, but I'm sure you're in the space
it,
to know, like, being a Black person, like running a nonprofit is kind of like expected. Like,
you're asking,
oh, what's
what do you
you're
want
asking,
now?
What do you want now? You know, it's almost like church. Like, hey, we got this 50 year ongoing, you know, campaign.
50 year building campaign.
Yeah, you know? And I think part of that is I learned a lot about what strategies worked. And so for me, being in this space is knowing and understanding how to pivot so that your message can really be amplified. And so, you know, I don't want people to think that it's almost like being a salesperson. I don't want them to think they're doing me a favor by contributing to this cause.
Yeah.
I want them to know that they're being afforded an opportunity to be a part of this magic. Because the magic is
love that.
You're a part of.
Can we borrow that?
Of course. Take it. You're being afforded an opportunity to truly change the face of entrepreneurship. You're being afforded an opportunity to attend an event where there are 90 plus Black people that are all saying, you know what, I'm going to give and contribute to this cause. And we're going to toast with champagne. This has just happened last month for my birthday. I'm speaking from real experience here. But I tell people, you know, being there is seeing the trajectory change. Like, if you, for all my Marvel fans out there, you know, if you're like into like whole like timelines and stuff like that, like, I want this to go down in history as like when something changed. Like, when I want people to attend this event and say, like, that was it. That was the moment.
Catalyst. Yeah.
There you go. So that's where the name came from.
Yeah.
The idea is like, how do we be catalysts for change in our community? I don't want charity. Like, I mean, yes, we need those people that are going to give you a backpack or give you a meal.
Yeah.
But we need people that are going to teach you how to fish too. You know?
Yes.
Like, when you teach me how to fish, And you get, now teach me how to fish and give me my fishing rod and give me the worms. Okay, we got something to work with.
Wow.
So that's where it's coming from. So when you talk about what does it look like, what does it feel like, it gets lonely because not everybody understands the culture of philanthropy. You know, people are afraid to ask to give, right? And I mean, that's part of philanthropy, is asking to give.
Sure.
But it's so much fun when you see your vision unfold and people come to you and say, I get it. Like, this is great. Like, I got to tell somebody else to come. Like, I had three people this time at the event. They were like, hey, would you mind if I invite like five other people next year? Please, like, bring them. That's 15 more people that are added to this DNA of giving.
That's incredible.
All for it.
And what I really do see here as a visionary, I love to vision when people are talking, and you're a great talker and storyteller, is almost a trajectory change. Like, there is a shifting and a generation. I don't know if you're a Gen Z. I assume you're a Gen
Millennial.
Okay, millennial, let's go.
Yeah, I grew up, I was born before Toy Story.
Toy Story, got it.
I was born before Lion King.
Okay, before Lion King.
Yeah, I was born in 91.
Okay, all right,
we're part of the...
So I was going to push you over to Gen Z,
Please don't.
Shout out to the best generation there is, millennials.
Yeah, yes, sorry, we're holding y'all. It down, even though... You know, there's so many other things going against us, but we got it.
But we're still the ones. But that's what I really see. I see you being one of the catalysts that's shifting the trajectory in this space.
Yeah.
I think it takes courage, especially as a Black man, to step out and to say, I'm going to do this for my community. Mm-hmm. And to be on the other end, it's like you talked about that reframing part. Like, no, I'm not trying to ask you for a book backpack. I'm trying to give you a donation and to be on the other side. I think it's very, it's just transcending to me.
It's transcending, but also, you know, it changes your posture a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like when you realize that there are people that are going to support this simply because of you, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But then when you realize people are going to support you because of the mission, you get like a double whammy. When you see people at this event and the way that they get excited and they get dressed up and they show love. And when I'm making this announcement, you know, hey, here's our scholarship recipient last year, or, you know, this is our cause, and to see everyone just like paying attention, it's an energy that you just,
it's
unmatched. Yeah. Because it's like all these people in here are bought into this. Like they are bought into, in this very moment, they're bought into that.
Yeah. And we have to find a way to amplify this even more, especially in a Northeast space. And I think even like setting this as a example for young people, like you can get into the philanthropy space too. Mm-hmm. So I don't think a lot of children, when they're thinking about what they want to be when they grow up, think about being on the other side.
Yeah.
So I wonder, how could we inspire a generation?
You know, it's funny you say that, because Black people, you talk about church, particularly around, you know, giving in church, that's all we did growing up, right? Like, you know, tithes and offering,
Absolutely.
Just know, like, on Sundays, we're giving our money to the church is going to be stewards of that, and they're going to give to this, they're going to give to that.
Right.
But if you look at our counterparts, I mean, they're dedicating money from their bar mitzvahs, they're dedicating it to social impact. When you look at, you know, our counterparts, they are being taught philanthropy at a young age, because they're also being taught to be good stewards of the money that their families are going to leave for them, which also has a, you know, I'm sure a tether to what does financial management look like? What does generational wealth look like? What does taxation look like? What is it like to manage this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of times we don't know what all is going to be accomplished in the mission until you start working on the mission. You know, now that we've created, like, let's just give out scholarships. Now it's like, well, what if those students actually end up being people that want to start nonprofits? Well, now let's make sure we get them grants too, so we can support them through that work.
But then
the next level work is, well, when they're in those nonprofits and leading those nonprofits, money's not going to be the only thing they need. They're going to need some kind of guidance, right? So let's get them pro bono consulting, right? Let's teach them about HR best practices. Let's teach about, you know, how do you leverage the workforce? How do you leverage development best practices for your fundraising? So, you know, I think, and I'm kind of blanking a little bit on your last question, so I'm going to try to reel it in. You just remind me if I inspiring the next generation is literally telling people, what was it that you needed when you were there, and how do you make sure, not rewrite history, but how do you just pivot a little bit so that the next person in your shoes has at least a little bit more advantage than what you had, right?
Yeah.
And so teaching that at a young age, and I think even going back to like college, you know, how amazing would it have been if I would have had, or if anybody would have had a $1,000 scholarship that went towards their tuition, and they didn't have to spend time, 20 hours in school, 20 hours at a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And what if they could spend like the 20 hours of a part-time job instead of like worrying about rent or like, you know, bills? They could spend on ideating the next social impact initiative, right?
I love that.
Like, what if they could think about, like, how do I send soap to groups that don't have access? Or how do I increase access to a particular thing?
Yeah.
And so for my thing is, it's, you know, how do we begin now? Begin with what little we have.
Yeah.
And then bring others to the table and say, hey, I'll take your little. Mm-hmm. I'll take your little, I'll bring my little, and boom, community.
That's incredible. That is the power of community.
Exactly.
And the power of social impact. And I think it really is, it's getting people, it's shifting people's paradigm to think differently about the way we show up for our communities and in our communities. But I feel like it's also us sort of taking back our power to say we're the ones that are going to create social impact the way we want to see it happen. Yeah,
it's crazy you say that. Being in the South, you kind of, you're taught to like be like Martin Luther King Jr., right? You're like, oh yeah, like we want to be like him, you know, peacemaker. Yeah. But then you get older and you're like, well, Malcolm X wasn't so bad. Right? Fred Hampton wasn't so bad either. And so you start thinking about how do we create pathways within our own community?
Yeah,
how do we create the economic strength within our own community?
I love that economic strength. And I'm taking a lot of notes. Some of this has nothing to do with the podcast. I'm just taking it for me.
Sounds good.
You said something was a soundbite, not charity, but change. Expound on that, please.
Yeah. And so I think, once again, this goes back to you never know how impactful a mission is going to be until you just start doing it. Mm-hmm. And so my hope is that in, you know, through the Catalyst Foundation, you know, we're not just giving people fish. You know, we're teaching them how to fish. We're teaching them how to, you know, be great stewards of the resources they've been provided, but then also take that and share it, right? But then if we're talking about the donors and the people that are advancing the mission and funding the mission, Catalyst doesn't have to be the only thing that you support. Mm-hmm. Catalyst is just a launch pad for you to understand what impact your dollars can do.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about charity, you know, charity to change, the idea is like, how do we not just change the people that we're supporting, but also change the mentality of the folks that are supporting?
Wow, that's really powerful.
Because when you, like I said, when you're part of this magic, I'm not selling you, I'm not trying to like recruit you to be a part of something. Mm-hmm. I'm inviting you to be a part of something.
Yeah.
Because this is going to benefit you as well. When you get in that room and you see other people that look like you, and they're funding this cause, and they're getting dressed up, and this is something they look forward to every year, you want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Like, why not, you know, go to Chaz's philanthropy thing every
year? That's right.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to drink bottomless mimosas, and we're going to eat until we, you know, can't eat no more, and it's going to be a good time. We'll get some good photos. And then, you know, he's going to, you know, give the money away to, like, two black students that are doing some really great work, and they're going to, he's going to give another $1,000 grant to, you know, nonprofits doing great work. Boom. Like,
awesome.
We get to spend whatever amount of money and make magic happen in 1 week.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I love this so much. Yeah. I'm wondering, how do we create little catalysts and throughout the East Coast? I think I mentioned this before, but I'm giving you like a little nudge Northeast.
Yeah, I heard that. I was like,
how do we bring it up there? Very like aggressive space, New York City area, which is where I originally am from. But how do we bring like these types of programs, what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
With black people leading it up in the Northeast space.
You know, I really hope that this story is certainly, you know, I'm not saying this to elevate me, but to elevate the purpose and the mission behind it. I really hope that, you know, people listen to this or they just hear the story and they're like, dang, like, I can do that. The same thing I said, right? Like, I want somebody to say, I can do that. That's easy because it is easy. The hardest part is just getting yourself up to go, you know? And so I think, you know, if I'm talking about, like, back in, you know, what is the strategic direction of the Catalyst Foundation? You know, I think we really want to establish our roots in the Southeast. And really, to me, I would like us to be the premier grassroots startup nonprofit foundation, right? Like when people come to us, they're going to be, you know, put into like this propeller where they're just their business model, their framework for impact, their theory of change, all those things are fine-tuned and professionalized, right?
I love that.
And so, you know, maybe we'll, you know, pivot to move up to the Northeast.
I was waiting for that part.
but even, you know, beyond that, I think it's even expanding, you know, where do we fund? And I think that's something that, not I think, I'm the CEO, I'm the founder. I know that it's a part of the purview in the future, but I want to make sure the home's taken care of first. Yes. But if somebody wants to take it up to the Northeast, we can talk.
Yeah, I love all this. And what are your areas of focus right now that you're prioritizing in terms of funding?
Yeah, so funding is really going to be, for those of you who are familiar with the nonprofit space, we filed a 501c, well, I'm sorry, a form 1023 EZ form. So essentially, I'm not looking to make more than $50,000 within our operating budget, at least for the next few years. And part of that's because I want to make sure that I am building the organization in a way that will support any of the donations that we receive. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's a beautiful thing that, you know, by myself, you know, we can probably raise, you know, upwards like $10,000, but that includes, you know, the event, the cost of the event,
yes,
and giving out that money.
Right.
But, you know, Next Steps, I think, is really not, once again, not think, I know. So we're installing our board next month.
Awesome.
Next month,
right? Congratulations.
So we got 13 board members that are coming from so many different practices and professions, and they're going to help us really, like, streamline what our strategy is.
Awesome. They're going.
I mean, I think I did a good job of, like, laying the foundation of, like, hey, this is what we are. This is where we want to go. And so now I want to kind of put these minions in place,
yeah,
to really kind of,
yep,
say, like, okay, did you know, by the way, you could do this, you could do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, March is going to be installing our board members. May is going to be selecting our two scholarship recipients.
Awesome.
By the end of the year, we're going to be selecting our grantee. By the fall of this year, we were hoping to do between 2 to 5 pro bono consulting sessions, right? So what this looks like is, for 8 weeks, you have a consultant that's tied to you, that's aligned with the cause that you're looking to solve.
Yeah.
That, you know, you get 2 to 3 hours per week, you know, pro bono from this consultant for 8 weeks. And I think next year, if all goes well, you know, kind of awarding and really acknowledging folks for doing some innovative work, right? So,
yeah,
like, how do we build competition that's healthy,
mm-hmm,
but that really breeds, you know, innovation? Social impact, because I can't do it by myself, so I need to bring in some more of those champions of change.
This is, it's so incredible, and I believe it's the way that philanthropy and nonprofit is going.
Yeah.
Morgan Stanley, which I'm sure, mm-hmm, you're very familiar, mm-hmm, with, they do a lot of those innovation competition challenges.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're noticing that just giving the money is not enough, but, like you talked about, the strategy behind,
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm,
capacity,
mm-hmm,
building, creating,
exactly,
you know,
mm-hmm,
opportunities to strengthen infrastructure, mm-hmm, is what's needed, mm-hmm, for nonprofits.
See, she's speaking all the key, yeah, words of nonprofit. You hear that?
Yep. 11 years in. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it'll
feels much, yeah, longer, but, yeah. So you're an operations guy, too.
Mm-hmm,
I read,
mm-hmm,
some of your bios. So,
yeah,
just the importance of that behind, like, so I got this money, what do I do with it?
Exactly.
How do I utilize,
exactly,
it? How do I maximize this, mm-hmm, and ensure that we're able to meet our operating expenses,
yeah,
at the,
yeah,
same time? So I love what you're doing. I can see this really, really blowing up even greater. I know you set $50,000 for the first 2 years, but
we're hoping for more, but
be ready if you get more.
Right.
Right.
You know, we'll see what it,
yeah,
looks like, you know, bringing in, you know, a workforce. And once,
mm-hmm,
again, this is all, you know, this is all strategic. You know, I want to do it, you know, the right way, but I want to also make sure that, you know, anybody that's tied to it, they can also, you know, learn and grow as well.
Yes.
We'll see.
Just in closing,
yeah,
you talked about a concept of toxic philanthropy, and I wanted you, that's not a good closing.
It's not a good closing
topic,
but I think we can like,
but if you can just touch
the cliffhanger, yeah.
Right, yeah. If you can touch on that really quickly, because I thought it was a very interesting concept.
Yeah, and so, you know, this even kind of goes back to, you know, being Black in this space.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's easy for us to find something that works for us, and it's even easier to probably find somebody who wants to buy us out, right?
Mm.
Like, how do I, that's so good, let me take that from you. Like,
yeah,
the money looks really good, but the purpose isn't fulfilled just yet.
Mm.
And so when I think of toxic philanthropy, I don't ever want to be in a space, and that's why I said I think it's a good cliffhanger. I don't ever want to be in a space that my foundation feels scared to own up to its DNA, right?
Wow.
And so our DNA, we started in the living room of my house.
Yeah.
And we started raising $1,000 with my house going through renovations. So you, mm-hmm, saw us at literally the beginning when,
wow,
we were just family and friends coming together to do this. I don't want anybody to come in here to think that because we are a foundation that makes $50,000 a year, or,
yeah,
that we're making $100,000, or that we're clearing $1,000,000, you,
mm-hmm,
know, or we're funding full rides.
Sure.
I don't want them to forget about the ethos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what it really matters. And it's providing funds and support to Black-led,
yes,
Black-serving organizations. When I was an undergrad, I was a part of the Multicultural Student Retention Services. That was for the Black students on campus.
Yeah.
That's where the scholarship
Multicultural back in day,
yeah,
was,
well, yeah,
coded,
yeah,
Black.
Yeah, and so the idea is, it's it's black. It's going to be black and eating black. that's what it's going to be, right. You know? And I don't want us to ever, and I think, you know, if this can be an example for anybody is, you know, stick to your ethos, stick to, you know, your DNA, and don't let philanthropy draw you in and, you know, wring you out, and you no longer have the essence of why you started. You know, if you're gonna bring them in, leverage them, but don't, you know, substitute them for you. And so when you talk about toxic philanthropy, I never want a dollar amount to make us wonder, should we keep going down this route? Mm-hmm. No, I think we have a pretty good pathway ahead.
Yeah.
We got some time before we, you know, need to pivot a little bit.
Yeah, I think it takes like a moral compass.
Exactly.
It takes values,
exactly.
Like remembering exactly. your why and mm-hmm. even the upbringing. When I asked you, like, so what inspired you? You immediately talked about mom and dad.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that being your moral compass for everything that you do mm-hmm. and that being your responsibility for the privilege that you were given.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah. I love that. So tell us, how can people donate, contribute?
Yes, this is the best part.
Are they allowed to donate? Yes, this is the best part, guys. We need you to give. We need you to be a part of this incredible experience.
Well, join in on the magic, right?
Yes.
Join in the magic.
I was just looking for my note. I was like, afforded the opportunity to be part of this magic. There we go. Yeah. Join the magic. He's doing incredible work, Chaz Chapman. How can people donate and contribute to your cause?
Sounds good. So if you would like to find us on it, not Instagram, I'm sorry. Find us on the web, the World Wide Web. That's how you know I'm a millennial. www.catalystfoundation.org. So that's Catalyst, Catalysts foundation.org. So it's Catalyst with an S on the end, foundation.org. There's a link that says donate. There's a little button that says donate. Feel free to give a one-time gift, sign up for a monthly recurring gift. Anything helps. We're making a dent. We're dampening something, but I don't know what it is exactly. But we're making a dent. And so
that's right.
Please be a part of this magic. It has been certainly one of the best things I've ever done, and I invite you to be a part of that too.
We want you to be a part of the magic. I tell you, it feels so good when you are able to give. There's actually studies, we didn't get to talk about that, and we're probably way over time, but there are studies that talk about when you give, you actually extend your lifespan.
Wow.
Yep, you're actually combating certain mental health disorders like depression and suicide.
Wow.
Yep, this is all social science, and it actually activates the pleasure center of your brain.
Amazing.
So it has the same effects as any pleasurable activity when you give. So there are tons of studies to support this. I actually have a series on that on YouTube, The Power of Giving, where I talk about this study. And so, please use that. Yeah please, because it's needed. And so just speaking to the importance of giving. So please give, donate, contribute. Your life will change because of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Chaz. It's been a pleasure. We want to bring you back
sometime
in the future to see where things are, maybe towards the end of the year.
Oof, yeah. Got a long way to go. Well, yep. It's only, 9 months, but dang.
Yeah, it's going to go by fast.
It's going to go by fast.
Yeah, it'll go by fast, for sure. Yeah. So, guys, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for supporting our content. Do us a favor, elevate this message by sharing it out with a colleague, a partner, or a friend. We want to make sure that they're empowered just as much as you have been listening to this. Don't forget to follow us on iRaise.org on all social media platforms and podcast platforms at Elevate. And don't forget to follow me at Shaniqua E. Moore. We love you guys. Stay tuned. We'll be back.